No walking the aisles, no jumping up and down. Good morning. Welcome to Spring Valley Bible Church and the study of the Word of God. My name is Chris Daigh. I will be starting 1 John today. I'm very excited about getting the opportunity to teach 1 John. Kit and Phil and I will be putting together a schedule. There will probably be some starts and stops in different books and different teachings as we work through the schedule. With that in mind, though, please let's be in prayer for Kit as he is recovering from some health issues there. Hopefully he will be back next week. But keep him in your prayers, as well as Herman, as he continues to try to figure out what's going on with his body. And so I think he's at home now.
He is.
He is at home now, and he will be working with the VA to figure out how to continue his medical treatment. So please keep Herman and Kit in your prayers at the 10:45. I'm sure we'll have some additional prayer requests, but top of mind at this moment. So last week, Lori and I had the opportunity to go to Countryside Church up in Stillwater when we went to visit Nick. It was pretty awesome. We've been there one other time, but as the pastor opened to start his teaching, he said, "Y'all, what comes out of my mouth might be wrong, but what's here is absolutely right. So pay attention to this, and we'll be in prayer that what comes out of my mouth is the leading of the Spirit. So take this for the gospel. And what I say, take it with a grain of spirit." So we're going to open this morning in prayer, and then we're going to jump right into 1 John. We're going to try over the course of the next several weeks to roll through all of 1 John. Been spending a lot of time here, and hopefully this is edifying to you and glorifying to our Lord. So if you'll pray with me this morning. Father, thank you for this time together. Just pray that your Spirit will be with all of us this morning, that we will set aside all of our encumbrances, of all the things that are on our mind, all the things that are in our way of learning, and then we will just put our trust in you, and we'll put our trust in your Spirit to be the teacher today. Father, your Word is perfect. And Father, I just pray that I will stay out of your way today in this teaching, and that you'll just use me as a vessel to communicate. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for Pastor Maddox and his faithful service and teaching of your Word that we have had the opportunity to learn and just created a foundation in our soul. Father, I pray for Kit and his family this morning as he continues to battle with his health challenges. Father, just bring him back to us next week and just get him prepared for teaching your Word as well. And Father, I pray for Phil as he gets ready to teach in a few minutes. And Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for the blessing of your Word and your truth. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, to y'all on the internet, apologies for being a few minutes late. We had a bit of a technical issue where we couldn't get the internet up, so we're going to go ahead and get started. Go ahead and move lunch back by 45 minutes because I'm going to teach long and then Phil's going to teach long. And I'm just kidding. I have enough notes to get us through 45 minutes or an hour and 45 minutes, but I will stop on time so Phil can pick up in a few minutes. So, 1 John, why is this important for me, or why is it so? Why was this where I think I was led to be teaching? Over the course of my life, with regards to the study of the Word of God, I have studied under different pastors, teachers, Herman, R.B. Theme. I've been to a lot of different churches and heard different messages with regards to 1 John, and it was just one of those things where it was just on my heart to teach. The Lord said, "Hey, if you have questions, others have questions, so teach it." And so I'm excited. I can tell you that I'm a little nervous with regards to making sure that I get it right. As the prayer opened, if you think I'm wrong, that's okay. Go back to the Word and go back to the Spirit and He's the teacher. And so I'm excited about this, and we're going to open with a little bit of background because I want to make sure we're all on the same page with regards to what we're studying. In the first epistle of John, we all default to the fact that it's John who wrote this. Now, unlike Paul, John doesn't introduce his epistles with his name. And in this particular case, his name's not in this epistle. But it's pretty clear when we get into the introduction, the first four verses of the first chapter, it becomes pretty clear that, number one, it's an apostle, and he's definitely speaking with authority. It places the person who wrote this, the writer, it places them among the eyewitnesses of the incarnate life of Christ, right? There's the see, touch, hear component of this. So we know that it's one of the apostles. And there are several references back to the themes and almost identical some wording with regards to the Gospel of John. And so, not very many people, in fact, very few people argue that this is from John, was written by John. And as we go through this, it'll be neat to see how we keep going back to the Gospel of John. And so as we get ready to open here in a minute, you're probably going to want to have 1 John blocked in your Bible, and you're going to want to have John blocked in your Bible, because those are really the two primary references we'll be working with. Who are the audience? The audience is assumed to be the Roman province of Asia, Western Turkey. And there is no question as we get into this that he is talking to Christian believers. He's talking to believers who have placed their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and are trying to live the Christian life. What is the purpose? Sorry, I'm giving you a bunch of points here. I tried to send these to you this morning, Julie, via text and via email, and something was going on, so I don't have the notes, but I'll make sure to get them to you so they can be posted alongside the message. But the purpose, and he starts out pretty quickly, and you can see it's a warning against against false teachers outside of the church, outside of this community, and those that are trying to come into the community of this church and provide false teaching. Its purpose is to strongly encourage believers to live their lives in obedience to God and to love one another. And then the primary purpose, as you will see, is explaining to us how we have fellowship with God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and how that is our means to living a holy life. As we talked about a couple weeks ago when I did sanctification, how we live a sanctified life. And so those are the purposes. And John really dives into all of these. He's a great writer from the, and this is just, obviously the Lord is writing, but John puts this together and tell him what you're going to tell him, then tell him what you told him. He's really good at that. And so hopefully this will all come out extremely clear as we go through. But how do we live a holy life? How do we have fellowship with the Lord? And how do we love one another? Those are three of the primary things that John is trying to get to in 1 John. And if you think back to the Gospel of John, what's this whole gospel about? It obviously it's about Christ, but it's in the Gospel of John you see a message of love that's very almost overwhelming compared to the other three gospels. Obviously it's the same gospel, but the same message, but this just overwhelming abundance of love that you hear from John in his teaching and in his writing. And so with those being that being a little bit of the background, how do we set up an outline? And I'm going to go through the outline for you. I actually borrowed this from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. It's a little bit of a interesting book to try to write an outline for, because it kind of moves around in different pieces in different places. So I borrowed this, and it actually was very helpful. Excuse me. So the overall outline of the book, again, we haven't gotten into the verses yet, but to the book of John, 1 John, the epistle, it starts out with an introduction, and we will definitely get to today. We're going to talk about the introduction, and then he talks about a couple of basic principles, basic principles within his epistle. One is the principle of fellowship. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with each other. And also a basic principle of knowing God. How do we know God? And so those are two of the basic principles that he'll be talking about, and that gets us through the middle of chapter 2. And then picking up in the middle of chapter 2, he starts going into the purposes of writing this. Purpose of the epistle is in light of the reader's spiritual condition. So how do we have fellowship and how do we have knowledge of God in light of the reader's spiritual condition? In light of the temptation of the world, which we all know we have to deal with on a regular basis. In light of the deceptions of the last hour. And in light of our calling to abide. And if you guys were here a few minutes before we started, I was actually playing a song that Lori and I just kind of fell in love with. It's called Abide. And I can't play it on the internet because that will get us shut down. But so I didn't. I turned it off. Julie reminded me. But it's a pretty cool song, and if we get a chance, I'll play it in between services this morning. And so that's the purpose. And then you get when you pick it up in the end of chapter 2 and move into chapter 4, you're talking about the body of the epistle. So you've got a theme. You've got the discerning the children of God, discerning love for the body of Christ. What is love? What love is not? What it is? What love does for believers. So again, the theme of love throughout all of this. And then discerning the indwelling God, the Spirit of truth, the God of love. And then how do we realize these things? How do we realize these themes? And then it goes into a conclusion, which actually talks about love clarified, love empowered, love practiced. And then he closes. And so that's the overall. As you can see, as we're just going through the outline, you can get a feel for what we're talking about here. The fellowship between God and the believers. How do we maintain that fellowship? And then that fellowship and what it results in with regards to love. And then there's the ongoing theme of avoiding the false teaching, which can destroy that fellowship. And so that's the overall, and like I said, I'll leave these notes for Julie to post so you can use this as you're going back through and looking at the epistle of 1 John. So with that being said, let's go ahead and start and jump into the introduction. So if you'll turn with me to 1 John 1, and we're going to read the intro, which is 1 John 1, 1 through 4. I'll give everybody a second to get there. We should be at 1 John 1, 1 through 4. And it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hearts have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. And Miss Phyllis, I am making a concerted effort to slow down so that you know. So the prologue, the introduction, it's clearly teaching about the incarnation of Christ. It's talking about the incarnation of Christ, the God-man. This is an immediate rebuke. Apparently obviously we all know there was a ton of false teaching. Look at today, there's a ton of false teaching, even within the Christian church, within the United States and within the world. But at this point in time, he was really specifically targeting the false teachers that were coming in and saying, Christ was not God. Jesus was not God. And so he's talking about the incarnation, the God-man, and this is to rebuke the false teachers from the time of Christ's ministry all the way up till today. Because there are still teachers that teach that Jesus is not God. this whole religion's based on the fact that Jesus is not God and it's built around him being a prophet. Islam knows who Jesus is as a prophet, but they do not recognize him as God. Right? I don't know if y'all knew this. The Mormon Church recognizes God as having ascended to being God, being like God, but not born as God. And so, this is a rebuking of the establishment of who Christ is as the incarnate. And this calls the believers to fellowship. The second point is, it calls the believers to fellowship with the Father and the Son and with other believers. If we're in fellowship with God the Father and God the Son, then we are in fellowship with each other who are also there. And so we will see as we go that this is obviously, as we all know and have been taught for years, this is all through right orientation with the Spirit, trusting the Holy Spirit. And so in verse 1, to dig a little deeper, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Am I on? Okay. First, John is establishing his position as a witness to the incarnation of the Messiah, to Jesus Christ. That which was from the beginning. This Greek word actually means origin, from the establishment of, the beginning of. This is establishing that what John is talking about is God. There's only one that has been from the origin, and that is God. So through this whole thing, you're going to see the points of deity in who Jesus Christ is. John is saying not just me, but we. So in the law, and so you know these folks growing up as Jews, in the law you had to have multiple witnesses. And so not only is he saying I saw this stuff, he's saying we, the apostles. We, as the apostles, have seen and bear witness to what I'm telling you. And John is saying, not just me, we. And we can provide true witness about what is to come because we didn't just hear about it. We heard from Jesus Christ directly. Number one. Number two, we saw him with our own eyes. Not only did we hear it from him, but we saw it. We saw who he was. We touched him. We were physically able to touch him. So we've established that he's God, and we established that he's in a physical body of mankind. And then we get to the word of life. So we've established that John is saying, I am telling you this is who he is. I've heard him. I've touched him. I've been with him. I've seen him. I know who he is, and I bear witness to the word of life. And this can actually, the word of life can actually be, I was going through multiple commentaries, and it can actually be understood in a couple of different ways. First, the word, with no qualifier. This, if you think about John's first epistle, in fact, go ahead and flip back to the Gospel of John. We're in this first epistle. If you'll go back to John 1, in John 1, 1 through 5, and as I'm sure many of you know by heart, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The word of life. As we go through this, as I said, it's very apparent that a lot of these references are going straight back to the Gospel of John. And so, in context of John's first epistle, is one way to look at this. The second way to look at this is that this is the message of the word of life. And if I won't have you turn there, but in Philippians 2:14 through 16, It says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And so, in as I am reading this, and I, hopefully we're all in agreement here, I read this, the word of life is directly referring to Jesus Christ. This is a direct reference to the God-man. That's what John was targeting, and that's what he's talking about, Jesus Christ, the God-man. John is setting up his foundation for what he is about to proclaim about the word of life, Jesus Christ. So then, moving into verse 2, it says, the life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. The life appeared. We've seen it. We've heard it. We know it. Christ was with the Father, but left heaven to be made lower than the angels. Christ is the eternal life. And if you flip over, if you're back in 1 John to chapter 5, verse 20, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding so that we may know who is true. And we are in Him who is true by being in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. So John is teaching against the false doctrines of the false teachers with regards to Jesus Christ not being God. He's establishing exactly who He is. And John knows that these are believers. And he knows that they are believers that he's writing to, but how quickly believers can be deceived by false teaching. Look at the church in the U.S. today. This is like just not very long after Christ, and how fast, and we've talked about this many times, how fast we deviate from the truth. And so he's reestablishing for these believers, setting a foundation to say, this is who He is, and this is what I'm proclaiming to you. From the beginning, the life appeared, eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared. This is the incarnate Christ. So verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And fellowship is with the Father, and our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Again, he continues to use the pronoun we, him and the apostles. Who is he referring to? Seeing how he says in verse 1, we heard, saw, touched, he's referring to the apostles. And John is teaching these believers to not be swayed by the truth of false teaching, because deviating from the truth will break fellowship with God. Moving away from basic truths can cause doubt throughout your whole biblical foundation. Y'all, as we watch the education system in our country and then watch the church continue to modify through culture, through just watching these truths become watered down and perverted, even within our schools, and allowing it to happen. You even see the church today, you know, there's a lot of churches out there today with regards to creation. It's millions and billions of years old, and you know, it kind of evolved, so we take a little bit of the science stuff and we wrap it around the creation stuff and then add a little evolution stuff in there, and then because we want to fit into the culture. We're not called to fit into the culture. We're called to be separated from it. But how quickly, if our foundation changes, that God, Jesus Christ, is the creator of all things, how fast does the truth of who God is, who Jesus Christ is, begin to become perverted? And so moving away from basic truths can cause doubt throughout our whole biblical foundation. If Jesus is not God, as he said he was, one, he's a liar, because he said he was God, and two, How did he pay for our sins? He was couldn't be perfect if he was just man. So how was he worthy to pay for our sins? And if my sins aren't paid for, then do I really have salvation? It's a slippery slope to start deviating from the truth, and that's what part of what John was teaching against. So for clarity, as we move through this epistle, we have to keep a couple of things, a couple of foundational points in our minds. First, he's talking to born-again, saved Christians. He is writing, he says, I am writing to you, dear children. This is in chapter 2, verse 12. He says, I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. So there's no question who he's writing to. And as believers, they cannot lose their salvation. So as we move through 1 John, we need to remember, because this becomes a sticking point with a lot of folks, that this is not about our salvation. This is about our sanctification in our daily walk with Christ and our daily walk with the Spirit. As believers, they cannot lose their salvation. We know this. John 6:38. For I have come down from the heavens not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. So we can't lose our salvation. This is about walking in the light, which we will talk about shortly. It's about experiential sanctification. It's about the believer's daily walk. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Incarnate Christ, fellowship with God. That's the point of what we're talking, that he's talking about at this point in this introduction. And then he says in verse 4, we write this to make our joy complete. What a personal statement that is, that they're writing this to make their joy complete. Them providing the understanding of fellowship with God is bringing them joy. Them being the apostles. Y'all, to see a congregation build a relationship with God the Father and the Son, as well as with each other, that's the complete joy of a teacher, of a pastor. I think of Pastor Maddox sitting up here for 40 years, 45 years, and teaching and teaching and teaching. The joy that comes from watching the congregation build a relationship with God and continue to grow. If we have, as believers who know many of these things, are not sharing these things with others and keeping them for our own knowledge, we are missing out on blessing that God has designed for all of us. The complete joy. The joy of sharing the gospel. The joy of providing of giving the opportunity, of God working through us to give somebody the opportunity to come to know Christ. And to watch a believer over time begin to build a relationship with God and see them get it. To watch the worldly darkness start being overcome by the light. What a joy. What a joy that is. And this, as I was writing this and thinking about this, love is not an impersonal thing. Joy is not an impersonal thing. Teaching the Word of God is not an impersonal thing. There's nothing more personal than to love somebody and to give them the Word and to teach them and to pray for them. I don't believe there is such a thing as impersonal love. I just don't. How can we not grieve? How can it not break our hearts to look at somebody and know they are where they are going if they don't believe? Or how they are destroying their life if they are a believer but yet walking in the darkness. How does that not just absolutely grieve us? And so I don't think there is a thing called impersonal love. I think love is incredibly personal. And we can make our joy complete in the same way that John is making his joy complete. by taking these things and sharing them with those that we love. That was my moment of preaching. But y'all, I grew up with impersonal love. I grew up that was the thing. Well, if they don't understand it, they don't believe it, that's up to them, move on. Yes, but doesn't it break your heart? It should. And if it doesn't, we need to reevaluate whether or not we really believe what this Bible says. All right, now I'm done preaching for a moment. The introduction. So the introduction. Jesus is the incarnate Christ. He is the man. He is man and God. Don't deviate from this, but pursue the relationship with it, with the Father and with the Son. So he's teaching against false. He's preaching against false teaching, and he's calling them to a relationship with God. And so that moves us into the next part, which is some basic principles. And I know I will not get through all of this today, so I'm going to continue to just get. I'm going to get started here, and then we'll see where we end up. But if you move to 1 John 1:5, excuse me, the basic principles, 1 John 1:5-2:2. This is the basic principles of fellowship. And again, you might have a different outline, might look at it a slightly different way, but it helps organize the thoughts here. So, basic principle of fellowship. Let's read 1 John 1:5-2:2. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. Verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. John jumps right into the message. And he's clearly calling out that this is what he heard from Christ. What did he hear? God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If you look back at at John 1:4. Go ahead and turn there, please. John 1:4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God is light. As the light, God exposes and condemns sin. What does the light do? It shines on the darkness. Where does mankind hang out? In the darkness. If you look at John 3:19, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. We walk in the light when we are walking by the truth. Living by the truth, John 17:7, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So how are we to live? We are to live in accordance with the word of God. Why do we study Bible doctrine day in and day out for 40 plus years, 50 plus years? Because it's the truth. How do we walk in the light if we don't know the truth? If we don't know the light? And so there is a reason to study the Word of God. There is a reason to spend time every day in the Word of God so that we can learn and we can absorb and the Holy Spirit can teach us. John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. We are called to be living in obedience to the word. We are called to live in obedience to the word. And this can only be done through trusting the Spirit's leading and knowing the word. Sunday morning, check. I got my 15 minutes of sermon time. I feel better about myself. Out I go. Let's go spend the next 6 days, 6.5 days in the world. Come back, get my 15-minute recharge, and let's go again. We're called to live in the light all the time. In Him there is no darkness. The divine nature of God. There is absolutely no darkness in God. God is holiness. God is light. John is declaring the character of God, holy and righteous. God's justice reveals sin and condemns sin. There is no darkness in God. And one thing I want to point out is, for clarity, His mercy sent His Son to take our place in the payment of sin. His mercy did not set His justice aside. His mercy sent His Son. In grace, we are given this, but the penalty had to be paid. And we know the penalty of sin is death. Someone had to die for the penalty of sin, and that someone is Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people today who teach and talk about the mercy of God without recognizing the justice of God. If God is absolutely complete mercy with no limitations of His justice, then everybody goes to heaven. Everybody. Well, just do whatever you want and I'll be merciful if He's just mercy. But His mercy sent His Son to die for the sins to satisfy His justice, which required death. God is light. In Him there is no darkness. So when we are in the relationship with God, it's in the light. Everything we do is exposed. Everything that we think we're getting away with is exposed when we're in the light. There is no darkness, and God shines that light. So in verse 6, if we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. Now remember, we're talking about believers here. This is not a group of unbelievers. And this is not a justification conversation. This is experiential sanctification. This is us living in the light as believers in our daily walk with Him. This is sanctification. Believers set apart from sin in their daily walk. And if God is light and reveals sin, and there is no darkness in Him, He's holy and He's righteous, and He condemns sin, then y'all, we can't have fellowship with God when we are walking in sin. They're competing. Darkness can't stand in the light and not be exposed. And so, if God is light and reveals sin, and there is no darkness, then we can't have a relationship with Him when we are walking in sin. And what is sin? Everything that does not come from faith is sin. This is the one that gets me every time. It's like, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, it's not this. But man, if I'm not trusting Him, if I'm not trusting the Spirit and walking with the Spirit, I'm walking in the darkness. I'm walking apart from God. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. That's Romans 14:23. And so if we claim to have fellowship with God, but yet are not putting our faith in His Word and are putting our faith in His Spirit and being obedient, then we're liars. We're lying to ourselves. We're trying to deceive ourselves and we're trying to deceive others. We are not living out the truth. We are not living in accordance with God's Word. And the obedience that comes from faith and the leading of the Spirit. This seems pretty straightforward, but how easy is it to think that we know a lot of doctrine, so we're okay? We're generally a good person, so we're okay. We're better than that person over there, so we're okay. We all do that. We all do it. But we are called to walk in faith and obedience to His Word and to the leading of the Spirit. So in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. But if we, in contrast to walking in the darkness, we have a choice to walk in the light. It's a choice. This is a volitional choice given to us by God to walk with Him. This is for believers, not unbelievers. Unbelievers cannot walk with God. It seems like a relatively easy statement to think about, but how many people walk out of here, walk up to the mountaintop and I'm spiritual? I don't know what that means. And how tragic it is to think that they think they're spiritual, that they think they have a relationship with God when they do not know His Son. Only believers can walk in light because only believers have been given the righteousness of God. Only we can be righteous in front of God. And we are to walk in the light, living in obedience to the Word, God's will. This is the challenge or the battle between our will and His will. And y'all, we teach the young people all the time. There are only two wills that matter, ours and His. And if we're living in ours, no matter what's going on, if we're not living in His, we're living in ours because we've chosen against Him. So we are to live in obedience to God's will. This is the conversation that I had with a man who said he was living with his girlfriend after he had working on divorcing his wife. And he said, this is just right. And I've been going to church and, this is where we need to be. And there was a financial component. I love what the pastor was talking about last week. It was last Stillwater. And he said, when I hear the financial component, I just look at him and go, you're lying. It's not a financial thing. We all know what it is, right? So he's living with his girlfriend. But he's justifying in his own mind. And I'm not judging this gentleman. How sad is it? He's got kids. They're watching this stuff. It's breaking my heart that he truly believes in his mind that I can do this. It's okay. I'm walking with God. Just we're working through these financial things and we're working. It's like, you're not. But those aren't the big ones. Those aren't the ones that get us, right? Those are like, okay, that's so out there that you've got a long way to come back. But even when we justify our own will and our own things that we want to do, and God makes it really clear, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. We are to walk in the light as He, Jesus Christ, is in the light. The light is the sinless, righteous environment which God resides in at all time. The light is what God is. The light is the holy, sinless perfection that is revealed in Jesus Christ. Now, y'all, we are to walk in the light, not in accordance with the light. When we're walking in the light, His light is revealing to us all that we do wrong and all the things we are supposed to do right. If we're trying to walk in accordance, we're trying to be perfect, that's not what we're called. We can't be perfect. We are called to walk with Him and walk in His light. And John said, walk in the light, not according to the light. We can't match Christ's sinless perfection, but we can be obedient to the truth, walking in the light, through the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And when we do this, we have fellowship with one another. The Greek pronoun for one another is referencing two parties from the beginning of the introduction. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, these two parties, God and ourselves. So this is about the believers having fellowship with God. Fellowship, which is an association, a communion, a community with God. There's a relationship aspect to this. There is an intimacy to this. When we are walking in the light, in the Spirit of righteousness, filled by the Spirit and submitting to the will of the Spirit in faith, we have fellowship, an intimate communion with God. When we're not, it's broke. We're not in communion. We're not in fellowship with God. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. God cleanses us at salvation in the sense that He will never bring us into condemnation for our sins. We receive forgiveness of all sins. Positionally, we are sanctified in Christ. Romans 8:1-1, Corinthians 6:11, Romans 8:1-1, Corinthians 6:11, and Ephesians 1:7. We cannot lose our salvation. However, we need to be continually cleansed from the defilement that sinful daily living brings because it hinders our fellowship with God. I actually stole that. I didn't steal that. I'm going to give him credit. Reference Dr. Constable's expository notes. I thought that was really an awesome statement. We need continual cleansing from the defilement that sinful daily living brings because it hinders our fellowship with God. And it is 10:30. And before I jump into confession and other assorted things that may take more than a couple minutes of conversation, I'm going to stop here and we'll pick it up next week at the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sins. With that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together this morning. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Spirit. And we thank You for Your mercy and grace. We ask, Father, that You will help us this week to just have a desire to open Your Word, to spend time in fellowship with You through the reading of Your Word, through prayer. And Father, we just ask that You will convict us every moment of every day to walk in the light, to walk in the filling of the Spirit, to be in relationship with You, to feel that intimacy of our God who loves us. Father, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for what You do for us every minute of every day, for the breath that we breathe, the life that we live, the blessings that You give us. We thank You for Your Word. In Christ's name, amen.